comes from James 1, verses 2 through 4. My brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of any kind, consider it nothing but joy, because you know that the testing of your faith will produce endurance, and let endurance have its full effect, so that you may be mature and complete, lacking in nothing. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. So as we look back at the Greek, we see that some of the words for endurance are also persistence, and we see also that it means resolve or determination. So today I'm going to be focusing on persistence, endurance, determination, resolve as we go forward in our Christian walk. And I just want to give credit to Nick Cunningham. He's the author of a book called Forward, and he was really helpful to me as I was preparing this sermon, so thank you to him. If you want to take a look at your sermon notes within your bulletin, that might help you to follow along. And we're going to see that the first step in developing persistence or endurance is to begin at the beginning. If you're like me, you might want to jump ahead and just get to the end of the journey before going through the middle. I know that when I was a child, I did this on several occasions, and one of them was when my dad took me to the track. My dad loved long-distance running. And wherever Thomas Petty is, he thought those who ran track, who did long distance running, were just the bomb. I mean, he really did. So hats off to you that you can do that, track and field. But I went to this race, track and field meet, that was kind of an open invitation community thing. And my dad said, Tamlin, why don't you run the 440? It's easy. Just jump right in there. And, you know, wanting to please my dad, I said, oh, okay, Dad, I'll try that. I had run a lap on the track before. And so I got out there, and I mean, I was out of the gate like a shot. I was ahead of everybody for about 5 seconds. Oh, my goodness. I could see them off in the distance on the other side of the track by the time I came to the first curb. And by the end, I was not sure that I was going to make it. If it wasn't for my dad standing there, go, Tamlin, go! As I drew my last breath and barely crossed the finish line, I wouldn't have finished. Because I was ready to go full force, and I was just going to get to the end, and that was going to be it. The great victory was to be had. I could feel it in my grasp. But I loved reading what Nick Cunningham said in his book. He talked about the fact that he was a personal trainer and how he used to just be able to lift weights, and he used to be able to run long distances. But somewhere about middle age, it happens to all of us, he got a little bit out of shape, and he went back to start his personal training again. He said it almost killed him. You know, it killed him to do 10 push-ups where he used to be able to do 50 easily. You know, it killed him to try to run any distance. But he had to start at the beginning once again. And this is true in our lives in many ways, whether it's our physical lives or whether it's our spiritual lives. Sometimes we just have to start again at the beginning. You know, we forget that we just need to go forward just reading a little bit of the Bible each day. Just, you know, getting started. If we're out of the habit of praying every day, we just need to begin spending a few moments each day with God. Get started. If you don't have devotions with your family or family time in prayer, just jump in there and get started. Just make it short at first. And then allow different family members to participate, bringing what they have to time together with the Lord. It's a good way to go. What Nick said in his book was, the low-level workout I did do was better than the Superman workout I didn't do. So as you start slowly and you persist, you become stronger in your faith, stronger in your ability to persevere or to endure during difficult times. And they will come. I know sometimes it's hard as young people maybe to imagine that you're ever going to face difficult times. But the truth is, all of us face them. Every single one of us. Our times look different, you know, but we all face them. So that's the first thing, is to begin at the beginning. Number two is to look back. Now, I know this is counterintuitive, because I'm not telling you to go back and drudge up your past and say, oh, I wish I had done this, or I wish I had done that, or to dwell on negative times in the past. What I'm telling you to do is to look back at God's faithfulness. Think about where you were in your journey and how far you have come. Because all of us, if we have accepted Christ, started our journey there, and hopefully we're coming some distance in making some progress and becoming closer to God and just trusting Him more and more with our lives. I know my mom keeps what she calls a wow journal. Wow, look at what God did today. And she has just pages and pages brimming over with the amazing things that God does in answering prayers, because she's a mighty prayer warrior. And if we don't write them down, we tend to forget when we're in the middle of a really difficult time the prayers that God has answered. And we also forget how far we've come. I rely very heavily on my journals, because I have written them in all different situations, and I can go back and just say, wow, over and over and over again as I see God's faithfulness. And I just encourage you to do that. And then I want to say, number three, is that as we are going through life's journey, it's better when we go together. It's better when we go together rather than try to do it by ourselves. First of all, it's better when we ask God to walk with us in the journey, but it's also better to ask fellow Christians to walk with us. You know, we're pretty tough people. We think we can do it by ourselves. We don't want to depend on anybody else. We don't want to have to depend on God. We don't want to have to depend on other people. But the truth is that we are stronger. Not only can we help push one another forward when we're settling for less, we can also point out the growth that we see in each other's lives. And it's so good to encourage one another. I'd like to ask a special favor of you this week. I'm going to be blessed to be able to go on vacation with my family. And while I'm gone, I want to ask for the church to have a very special focus. I would like it if this week we could focus on caregivers. That those who are caring for those who've been sick for a long time, those who are caring for those who are homebound, those who are caring even as a profession for other people, for strangers. I'd like to ask that we pray specifically this week for caregivers, because I think often they feel forgotten. Often they can feel like they're alone. Often they get weary, they get tired, they get worn out. And when we pray, God can truly help to encourage them. And I'd like to pray also for them that they would feel God's presence. Because there are times when they go through the desert, through the hard times, and they can't feel God's presence. They're so tired. And it's been so long that they've been looking after somebody else. They need to feel God's presence and God's strength in their lives. And then, if you feel led, like to just ask you to drop them a card or a note. I'm going to be on vacation, but after Monday, Melissa will be in the office. If you need somebody's address, call and ask and say, you know, I'm thinking of such and such. Could I get that person's address? Send that person a note or a card, or call them on the phone and say, you know, I was just thinking about you and what a wonderful thing it is that, you know, month after month, you're loving on, fill in the blank, a husband or a child or a neighbor, and encourage them. It'll help them to run the race more successfully and with greater strength. They need to hear from you and know that they're not forgotten, even though they may not even be able to be in church with us on Sunday. It's better when we're together in this race. And during the sermon series on fruitful congregations, I talked to you a little bit about the importance of intentional faith development in small groups. It's important that we're in small groups together to encourage one another and strengthen one another in our journey. And on that note, I'd like to encourage you, if you've been away from Sunday school for a while, to think about starting up again. Or if you haven't been in a Bible study, think about joining the one, if you can, that we're going to have in the fall. And I'd like to tell you that we're going to start a new adult Sunday school class this year, this fall, so that those who are new to the church, those who may be outside of a Sunday school class and would feel weird about walking in the middle of one, we'll have a Sunday school class that you can join that's just getting started from the very beginning. So this is exciting. It's exciting. And one of the most exciting things is what we're going to be doing for our children. We're so blessed that we have volunteers who are willing to organize and help to bring to this church a rotation Sunday school. And so, whereas we've had very few children, the ones who've been with us have been super, super important. We're going to have a Sunday school rotation that has new and exciting things going on each week, doing hands-on type of things, you know, different projects, art, science, music, drama, all kinds of things. And it's going to be really great because we're going to get to look at subject matters such as Joshua from many different perspectives, building things and sharing things together. And we're going to need your help. It's better together to do this because it's going to take persistence. At first, we may see very few children, and it's going to be easy to get discouraged. You're going to say, oh my goodness, we're putting all this work in and we have, you know, a few children. But we're believing that as we are persistent, as we are teaching God's word, as we are having a great time doing it, we're going to get more and more. Love to have you consider inviting a neighbor child and bringing them with you. What an amazing thought. Somebody that's not my kid. Yeah. Bring a neighbor kid. Bring your grandchildren or your great-grandchildren to Sunday school. they will have a blast. Think about that. And let's be persistent as we go forward so that we can build this program to where it's serving so many children, you know, children that don't have the opportunity to come to Sunday school. It's really exciting to think about. It's very exciting. And we can do this together. We can do this if we are persistent. And we do each bring our gifts and talents. You don't even have to teach every week. You could just bring your ability to hammer some things together or just make some kind of art project or just read some scripture. Maybe you have the ability to sing and carry a tune that some of us don't, and you can share that with the kids. So there's all kinds of things you can do. So we need to do it together as a team. And number four, hard work. As Americans, we're very goal-oriented. And I know many of you in this church are very hard workers. I know that for a fact. I've seen you at work. Yeah, I see the gophers out there. You know, I see you guys doing things for the church and most of all for God. And I know you're hard workers. One thing that I want to share with you is that God values the journey as much as God values the end result. God is, through our journey, teaching us day by day to become more faithful Christians. And I know we all want to accomplish something, you know, it's always about numbers or whatever, but God cares about the way that we treat each other in the process and the way that we treat others with love and kindness and patience. And so that is so important as we journey along and endure. Perseverance is about learning to lean into the struggle of growing into the people who know God's way of living. We're going to continue as a church to grow and to learn together through hard work and our wonderful spirit of volunteerism in this church. Let us persevere even in the most difficult times, because God is with us. I know personally that I can lean on God in the most difficult, challenging circumstances. God has proven himself faithful and true 100% of the time. So I just leave you with this today. Remember, you are brave. And you can face your fears. You are wise. You can learn from your mistakes. You are strong. You can face adversity. You are worth it. You are loved by God. You can persevere. You can move forward. You want to know how I know? Because God's divine power has given each of us everything that we need. Amen.